Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anime, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast and it blesses and encourages you. And may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Welcome to our podcast. Tonight we're pleased to welcome back Nancy Watson. Welcome, Nancy.
Good to be here.
Good to have you.
We're going to be talking about healings and miracles. And we know that you've seen through the years many of these things. What would you like to share with us today, Nancy?
God, Martha, there's so many different things in the past 40-some years. I've seen a lot of miracles in my life. I remember one time we was in church in Denver, and we was having prayer circles. Mm-hmm. And these old women we was in the prayer circle with, and this chavvy walked to the door, mm-hmm. and he was out of his mind. Mm-hmm. He'd cut off dirty hair. And this old woman deked at him and said, "Come here, let's pray." "Oh, I ain't going to do me no good." And he's out of his mind. And so we got him by the hands, and we just all started praying. Mm-hmm. And never stopped until he just went out, like, you know. And the old women just stayed over the top of him and continued to pray. Mm-hmm. And when he got up, he was cold, stone sober.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I watched him. And then I said, well, you know, travelers anyway, I was second-guessing God. And he got up, and next Sunday, he's there. The next Sunday, he's there. Mm-hmm. I said, see, he's still here. So I think a year goes by. He comes back. He's still there.
Yeah.
God delivers. He delivers, you know. I think through seeing miracles in my own family, it sounds strange, but God works differently, I think, and kind of confuses people sometimes. And through seeing God work in my own family, I seen God spare my son more than once. Mm-hmm. And I remember we was in Ann Arbor. No, we were in Ohio, and we drove him to Ann Arbor to the children's hospital. Mm-hmm. And a man come out and told us he's got an hour, maybe two, and he's in intensive care. Mm-hmm. He was in acute kidney failure. And naturally, me and my husband just, you know, near passed out, fell on our side and rolled. And we stopped. He went in the bathroom. I was sitting out in the thing. It was 15 minutes before we could go in to see him. He started praying that loud in the Holy Ghost, and I just kept praying, God, it's a scary place back there. It was intensive care. There was kids hit with horses in the head, and I said, just make him be at peace and not scared. And the Lord showed me him over the top of him, and his two arms was out like that. And I was praying, and then they come and got me. And I said, my boy, you okay? Everything all right? You're not feared or nothing? And he said, no, Ma. He said, Jesus was just here. I said, what do you mean, son? He said, he was just here. He was just over the top of me.
Exactly what you seen.
Exactly what I seen, enemy. And then from then on, it was like hour by hour, you know, every two or three hours. And my husband looked and said, he was praying, and he said, as long as you keep my boy in here, I'm going to pray for every child that walks in here, that's parents will allow me to. Mm-hmm. And he did it. There was the little girl was hitting the head with a hoof, whole side of her face. Uh-huh. And he asked the people, can I pray with you? Yeah, please, yeah. The mother and father, full total in agreement. Thank God, to be the glory. She walked out. Another kid, something intensive, really bad. There was four or five of them. The last, there was one The one, he looked and said, "Can I pray for your little girl?" And the father stopped him and wouldn't let him pray for her. And he said, "She'd be better off dead."
Wow.
And he said, "That's what you want." He said, "I ain't what I want. That's just she'd be better off dead." And he said, "Okay." And we're sitting, and this young man walks by, and he's panic-stricken. Now, this is a couple of days, and my boy's getting, thank you, Jesus, he was getting better.
So 1 or 2 hours turned into a couple of days by then.
Oh, yeah. We was sleeping on like things that come out of the window seats. And this one man walks past. And as he walked past, he walked in and he looked at him and said, "Do you need prayer?" And he said, "They just told my wife, they put her in the grief room, that our child has only minutes or an hour to live. He's got some kind of infectious disease that kills him. Like, I don't remember all of it. It's been a long time ago." And he said he's got no time to live. She's in the grief room right now. And he said, "Well, my mom had flew in by then. And, well, let's all take hands and pray." So we all took hands and we prayed. And the man prayed. And every time he'd walk past, he'd go, 30 more minutes. He got 30 more minutes. And he, like, at this point now, 2 days has gone by. And he said he's got 2 days now. He's in 2 days. So about the third or fourth day, he come in and he said, "He's doing good. He's going home."
Praise God. Amen.
The Amen. Thing about it was, he was a Jew. And he agreed with us in Jesus' name, prayed, and his boy, he's seeing, you know, what you can do when you pray.
Amen.
And I thought about it, and I said, you know, it's a funny thing. Everybody's awful picky in particular at different times of, yeah, of this or that, and the next thing, oh, she's not going to let her pray for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let him. But, man, when you need it,
mm-hmm.
you need it, you'll take it.
You'll take it.
You know, when they tell you your kid's dying, you'll take anybody that's mm-hmm. coming up there that's offering to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway, God delivered him out of there, and he wasn't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the doctors couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn how to do, they call it peritoneal dialysis. And that's where they put a hose in the stomach. It's the purest part of your body where no germs can live, where this hose goes into. And I said, okay, but you've got to learn to do it. Mm-hmm. We can't release them until you learn to do this. And I'm not a very good person at reading and learning and comprehending and doing. I basically was like a little princess that, you know, Daddy took care of and then was thrown into this. And I said, okay. I said, well, here's what I'm going to have to do. I said, God, you got to get me through this. And she said, it usually takes 7 to 10 days to complete it. And I had to learn like blood pressures and, I mean, all kinds of stuff I had to learn. I said, okay. So I went there. I started learning it, kept going. The woman was, okay, well, you finished that. I said, okay, and then I had to do this other thing. Oh, yeah, you've done that great. I said, thank you, Jesus. Every day it was thank you, Jesus, because there was also a blizzard coming in, and he had already left. I sent him on, and it was me and my baby and my mom was going to drive back, and all of a sudden she graduated me, just go in and do it on him. And I was, okay, I got to do it on him. So I had to perform the dialysis on my boy before mm-hmm. I could get him released. I got him released. Had to throw about 75 boxes of dialysis in the back of my truck. Hook on, leave, get my mother, and leave. And then I had to do the dialysis on the road going back. Because he had an appointment here at, like, I think Thursday, and I left Tuesday. I don't know. And I'd put my mother out of the car, and she'd take the baby. And I would run in real quick and warm it up. It was a bag. And they put it in the microwave, and then I'd bring it out. And we'd do the transaction. And then we was good for another 8 hours. We did that for 3 days till I rolled in here at 5 o'clock in the morning. And got him to his doctor's appointment. And in a matter of no time, your kidney's here. And we was down, got his kidney, and he was just up and normal again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was a scary thing, very scary.
Yeah.
It was also, I couldn't show any emotion. I couldn't, when I wanted to die inside and fall down the wall, I couldn't. I couldn't do it for my boy. I couldn't do it for my dad, because he had just had like a real bad heart attack, and he's very close anyway to my kids. So I had to take it on. And I had to learn how to give it over to God,
mm-hmm.
and not me take it on, in order to live a normal life.
That was a tough one, Nancy.
It was one of the toughest, anime, you know, and at that time they didn't have, you know, the Fearfully Wonderfully Made, which would have been a godsend, mm-hmm. which like it is now. Mm-hmm. You have nobody to talk to. You talk to your dad, and you can only tell him just versions of it. In other words, you tell him the good stuff. This is what's going to happen. Or my husband. You told my husband everything, then he just wanted to go beat the doctors up. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, okay, I got to hold this and take care of it. It gives you a real quick lesson on how to hand it over to God and not to yourself. And by that, I had the peace of God that passed all understanding. I had God on my side, and someone to talk to was him and him alone. And watched my boy go on. I watched him wipe out a car, completely wipe it out, got up to the scene, took in an ambulance, and he had a little scratch on his lip. And that was God. That was a miracle.
I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of miracles. I've seen things that I seen when they called the second time for he had a kidney transplant when he was 19, because the other one was too small, and he'd waited 19 months and he wasn't doing good. And they called 19 months of doing that, you know, and his blood pressure sky high, and they give me one pill and they would say give it to him when it gets sky high. But make sure he's sitting down because he'll pass out because it dropped it like that. Done all of that. They calls, hi, we've got your kidney. I swear. I said, oh, yeah, we've got Bob's kidney. You know, you come on down here and this and that. I said, okay. But for some reason, I didn't rush right in to tell him. I said, his machine ain't going to be through until like another half hour. I'll let him sleep. So I figured it was long enough. I gets up, I walks in the bedroom, and I tells him. He's all excited. This is over. I can go have my normal life. And yeah. They calls back. I'm sorry. We made a mistake. It's
oh,
not
no.
his.
Oh, no.
With torture.
I said, what do you mean you made a mistake, honey? I just told my son. I'm sorry. I just made a mistake. And he went in the bedroom. Did not take it well. He started like throwing everything in the bedroom. And I got down on my knees and I said, please, God, if this is from you, if it's his, Lord, please let me know. I'm going to go in and talk to him right now. And I just felt God say, it's his. It's his. I walked in and I grabbed him. I had to hold him because he was out of his mind. He was throwing everything. And I said, my baby, it's yours. I said, this is just a lie from the pits of hell. I said, this is yours. And we laid there and I just held him. I didn't know what else to do. I know God told me that, and I said, you know, I took a stance with God. About 25, 30 minutes, longest 25 or 30 minutes I ever spent in my life. Phone rings. It's his doctor. Nancy? I said, yeah. He said, Nancy, I'm so, so sorry. They made a mistake. It is Bob's kidney.
Well, huh?
That's amazing.
I said, it is. He said, it is. I apologize. Just get down here as soon as you can. So I did. I walked in. There was a little Oriental woman standing. And she looked at me and she took my hand. And she said, we've been waiting for you. Where have you been? They just called. Never seen her again. Then we goes into the room and there was a wooden chair for me. And his bed already, And he gets up on the bed, and he fluffs the pillow. And he looks at me and said, call me when they come to get me. Wake me up. I said, you're not upset? Oh, why would I be? Laid down, went to sleep. They come and got him. He got the kidney, was out 2 days later and gone to the mall.
Amazing.
Amen.
You said that the Lord spoke to you.
Yeah.
Tonight or today we've done a few podcasts, and it seems the theme that everyone's been saying to us is how God has spoke to them, their heart, their mind, their soul, their spirit, however. And a point I feel like raising up. Do you attribute that, Nancy, do you think, for people being in prayer and reading the word, that they recognize when they hear the voice of God and know?
Spending time in his presence. Reading your word of God and spending time in his presence.
Amen.
Amen. NMA, there's no way on earth I could have got through it all or been standing here on this podcast apart from the time I've spent with God. Amen. And the word that he put in me.
Amen.
Couldn't do it. God did it.
And you said something too, Nancy, about giving it to God and trusting in God, not trying to fix things yourself and do it yourself, because you can't. And that's a lesson, like, me needs to learn, how to trust God with things.
And what he showed me through all of this, and I think I said it before in the first one, I don't like a lot of this. I got to be honest with you. God knows my heart. I don't like a lot of how things went down.
Right.
But you have to understand, too, it really isn't all about us in our little lives. It's about God. It's about him doing what he needs to do to get us to the point where we're in eternity forever. I talked it, but I really didn't embrace it. And I remember driving somewhere after my baby passed away. And I said, I don't like this, God. I don't like this at all, And he said, you've seen miracles. I said, yeah, I've seen them. I have. I've seen miracles, beautiful ones. My boy, everything. And he said, you've seen them. Now he said, do you trust me? Yeah, I said, God, I trust you. I trust you with everything. And he said, you have to trust me to know that this is the way it had to go. And I thought to myself, I know better than God? I don't think so. Like I said, let me emphasize, I didn't like it.
Oh.
I missed my kids, my husband, my family, more than I could ever in life tell you.
Amen.
But the peace of God that he's put in my life, in my heart, it makes me want to praise him all the more, because it's not about me. It's about what we're telling everybody about, what we're telling everybody about Jesus and about eternity. It really is there. There's eternity.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of this horribleness that we've went through in this life. It's perfect.
Right.
Our jobs is doing what yours is doing right now. Telling people, come to the Lord, get in your word, spend time in his presence. That's what we need.
Amen. I know one thing, Nancy, for you're a very private person.
Very.
You don't like a pat in the back. Okay, buddy. You don't like a pat in the back. You don't look for attention. You just want to be and be left alone. That's the vibe I get off of Nancy.
It isn't being left alone, NMA.
Well,
it's
just live. Let me rephrase it. Just live your life, and you're not looking for attention is what I mean.
No.
But for you to step out of your comfort zone and come here and talk in these podcasts and share your heart is because I believe you're concerned for other people. And that's the reason for it.
It's the only reason.
That's why you're doing this tonight.
Yeah.
As if somebody hears this.
Yeah.
And it touches them or draws them to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's what your whole
existence
has been about. Come meet Jesus.
As long as I can remember, yes.
Yes.
That's it. I think we get wrapped up in us. And we get wrapped up in, well, why did this happen to me? Well, hey, things happen, you know, and Amen. Turn it around in some way and turn it to the glory of God.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
My kids both love the Lord. My boy Bobby had an anointing in his life. You know, my Alec loved to read and read and discuss the word. Used to do it with his father all the time. I know where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would I rather have them right here, Absolutely. Kissing the face off of them and tripping over myself to go buy them clothes and do stuff for them? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's about more than just me and my family. It's always been about more. It's about more than all of us. It's about God. It's about Christ Jesus and what he done for us. You know? Mm-hmm. And people have to come to the realization this world is getting a lot worse than it was.
It is.
Amen.
And this world's in a fallen state, and there is sad things, and there is sicknesses, and there is all these horrible things. But for those that love the Lord, every unimaginable thing that you've went through, the things you've never shared with us, you've just touched on some. But imagine if you hadn't known Christ.
Couldn't have did it. Couldn't have did it, enemy. Absolutely
That's
couldn't have did it.
That's the difference that you have.
And I had people praying for us. I had people interceding. My father called when he was in Ann Arbor, and he broke down terrible. And I had to console and get my father back up when my heart was ripping out. And then he pulled himself together, and he went on his campaign that he would do. And he went to Indians that he knew that interceded in the spirit up on a mountain in El Paso. He went down to a priestess that he knew, had them start, had an anointing for healing, had them start praying. You'll go to any juncture for your family member. You will do anything. I know people, well, I'm not of this denomination, but when they needed it, they were of that denomination. They were of any denomination that people would get together and agree with for their kid
That's
in prayer.
That's right. That's right.
You know, don't put up walls. Take the walls down. Just love God. You know, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to get through this horrified, falling world.
Yeah.
There's nothing else you can do.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, I felt the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, I've also lived in the apartment and the doors and windows shut and never wanted to come out until I thought my heart was going to bust. But for God.
But for God.
But for God.
So, Nancy, if it isn't too intrusive to ask you, if you was going to advise somebody going through something with a family member, and, you know, what would you advise them to do? If they were going through a hard time, like similar to what you went through or others.
Push in as hard as you can to God. Find people that you agrees with you and you, that you want to pray with. You know, wherever it is, whoever they are. And stay in that. You know, we had praise God, we had Bill and Margaret. And when they come and told me, your boy won't live to be 8 or 9. I think he was like 6.5 or 7 at the time. And when you're standing down in a doctor's office and they tell you your kid ain't going to live, your two knees buckle.
Yeah.
Then I had to come home and then tell him what the doctor said. And Bill and Margaret, thank you, Lord, by the grace of God, was on the camp with us. And that was it. We went into prayer mode, just started praying and whipped up Margaret. You know, and because I was a little on my side, my knees was weak, you know, and that's it. We just kept praying.
Aunt Margaret was like a brush fire. All she needed was a spark.
That was it. That was it. We got her the spark.
And,
and it was amazing. When I think back on it now, because I really don't like to think a lot, to be honest with you. I really cast down those thoughts that come into my head and replace them with God's word, because if not, you'd go Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think back on it, the things that God has done and brought me through and our family through, it was miraculous. You know, we lived a completely normal life. And up until that point, it was like we had that sword that goes over your head and goes, doo, doo, doo. If we looked at it right. You know what I mean? If we looked at it like, you know, non-believers.
Right.
But God brought us through it. And I know he's going to take me the rest of the way.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Whatever reason it was, I don't know. And I probably never will, and I don't need to. But I know that God brought us through. God did things for my family that only we know. Mm-hmm. And I know that he had the right idea or he wouldn't have done it. Yeah. And he didn't do it, but he allowed whatever happened with my kids and everybody. I think it's horrible. In God's eyes, he's with them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I mean, I have a little, you know, nice, comfortable feeling knowing where my kids are, my husband went to, you know?
Amen.
Because we don't always see the big picture when we're here. And in your case, Nancy, it's like what I was taking from it, though, it's not about us. You know, with the things you shared, it's not about.
It isn't.
But sometimes I'll just say we do think it's about me. Why is this happening to me? And we don't see the big picture. We have to trust in something we can't see.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly. I mean, there's times when you have to pray.
Absolutely.
When the enemy's trying to rob you, kill you, destroy you, and you got to intercede on that on behalf and pray till you get through. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we did. We prayed and that, and God showed us things and showed my boy things, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
But the ultimate thing is, this is about going to be with Christ forever.
That's right.
You know?
Because we're only passing through here.
You trust
whatever him. Our length of time is here.
Yeah, you trust God, and, you know, he'll give you a long life. My mom lived to be like 93 years old. You know what
right.
I mean? My dad was 72.
Mm-hmm.
He was young,
mm-hmm.
you know? But they're in heaven.
Right. For eternity.
For eternity.
That's it.
You know, realize that you're here for a reason, and don't think for a second that you're going to ignore God, deny Christ, and get through this.
No or
way.
Not.
No way. I'd like to read a scripture that come to my heart when...
I'd love to.
You were talking about that, Nancy, because... What I'm getting from you is, yes, you have sorrow and grief.
Yes.
But you have hope.
Yes.
And what come to my heart was in Thessalonians where it says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep or went on to be with the Lord, so that you will not grieve as indeed the rest of mankind or as others do who have no hope. We have the hope. And it's easy for me to say, Nancy, you know,
mm-hmm.
1 Thessalonians 4:13, but that's all I kept getting from you.
No, it's the truth. Everything you said right now in that scripture is the truth.
Yes, I see it in your face, grief, sorrow, and I can't imagine, and I don't presume to imagine. But when I see Nancy Watson, I see hope.
Amen. It's the only thing there is hope in Christ.
Amen.
Christ
Amen.
Alone.
Amen.
You know, the joy that I've felt through the years of in his presence, of meetings we've been to, and me, Martha, you know, revivals, and the joy of the Lord has been so strong I've felt in my life, feeling his presence in my life. And, I've heard people loosely say, I trust God. And I kind of look at them and think, do you? Do you really? I mean, you got to trust him. When they tell you, like they told me about my boy, he won't live to be 8 or 9. You know, my boy lived to be 38 or 9 years old and lived a good life.
Amen.
You know?
Hmm?
Through prayer.
Oh, yeah. Through prayer.
Because it was many times over and over and over and over, Nancy.
That's right.
I remember... And I know I didn't hear all of it. Pray for Bobby, and we didn't really hear why, but we knew something was going on.
Yeah.
And later you've told me there was countless times
you got horrible
news.
Yeah, countless times.
And it totally got turned around.
It sure did. It really did. It just, you know, when I think back on it, how did I function? And then I remember it wasn't me functioning, it was God through me.
That's you good, know? Nancy. That's good.
Wasn't me. I can do nothing apart from Christ. There's nothing in me. And like you said, enemy, I never, you know, I was a supporter. Like, I want to support you, go up there.
Right.
You know, support Martha, go up there. I'll sit back right here. I'm good, you know? And as you said, for me to do this, it was God inspired.
Mm-hmm.
God spoke to my heart to do it. And if it's for one person out there, one, that's all it takes, just
that's
one.
That's right, that's right.
One poor soul that's hurting and don't know where's this all coming from, what's going on.
That's right.
You know, that's in right. His word is everything we need to know. Start there. Start in His word. Start and find a really good church that you love, and a spirit-filled church. Because, and I don't mean to doctrines or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you something right now. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I didn't realize how bad I needed it until I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed that power in my life. Mm-hmm. I needed that prayer in my life. When I didn't know how to pray, He prayed for me.
The Bible says that He intercedes for
you. Yeah, and I needed it.
You don't know what to say, He intercedes for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well.
Is there anything else you want to share, Nancy?
No, just love the Lord. Draw to Him. You know, be in His presence. There's changing in His presence.
Amen.
You'll change in His presence.
Amen.
You know, I've seen so many people that has changed. And don't give up on people if you see them and they're, you know, done something. God's still working on them. Mm-hmm. They're not perfect. We ain't none of us perfect.
He's no respecter of persons.
No, He's not. No, start praying for them like the Bible tells us to.
Yeah.
We need to pray for one another.
Amen.
It's just not all about us.
No.
At the end of the day, it's not about us, is it?
No, it's not.
Is it? Oh. Nancy, you give a tremendous, people's going to be really touched by this. They really are. It's ministered to me tonight that, because I have them selfish thoughts, them prayers, and them, and they're just flesh. They're selfish, and I'm not looking at the big picture at all. Sometimes
that's
what
it.
God's trying
that's
to do.
That's exactly it, the big picture.
We don't see the big picture sometimes, and it's hard to believe in things we don't see.
Yeah.
And I really, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate your testimony, Nancy, and I know a lot of people will. And it's going to help people. And it's good that you're stepping forward and taking the things that you've been through that are not easy to share, that are painful, to help somebody else.
Oh,
and we greatly appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to do it, and for God, it really is.
We love you, Nancy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nancy.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. Join us next Monday for the latest podcast. And remember, you can scroll down and listen to any that you miss. Please follow us on Spotify and tap the notification bell to have every new podcast loaded automatically. The Spotify app is free and it makes it much easier. We will be posting new podcast links on New Life Church Facebook page every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen next week. God bless.